This final section of chapter 6, from the verse 19 to the end of the chapter, deals with the Christian's relationship to the temporal things of earth. We have already, on a previous time, looked at the verses 19 to 21 and thought something about our relationship as the disciple of Christ to the treasures of earth. The Lord Jesus, in pursuing that theme, in the words that we will consider this morning, sets before us a very interesting illustration and example. You know how it is that a picture is worth a thousand words, they say. A picture is certainly something that can impress truth upon our minds in a way that long sentences and paragraphs of words cannot. The Lord sets before us a picture here. He draws our attention to the eye. Now, the human body is a source of wonder. It is a marvelous thing. For the psalmist himself, speaking of his body, said that he was fearfully and wonderfully made. But who can explain the marvels of the human eye? Where light admitted to that organ is so transmitted to the brain and interpreted by the brain that we can actually see. It's a marvelous thing, a wonderful thing indeed. However, the Lord Jesus here, in referring us to the eye, causes us to think of how sometimes the eye can go wrong. Sometimes there can be a malfunction either in the eye itself or even in the brain or the area of the brain where the signal from the eye is interpreted. And if something does go wrong and instead of normal vision, we have double vision, then our ability to see is very greatly hampered. And it's something like that that the Lord has in mind here. He's saying the light of the body is the eye. Now, if the eye is single, then the whole body is full of light. If you have single vision, which is normal vision, where the brain takes the two images from either eye and puts them together into a single image, we have single vision. We can see. The light enters our body, as it were. And through the eye, single vision, light enters and the whole body and our whole conduct and our whole way of life is illuminated. We can live and walk and act in the light where we have single vision. The Lord is using this physical picture to present to us, of course, spiritual truth. Where there is that fullness, singleness of sight, there is light. We can walk in the light. We can walk with knowledge. We can walk with precision. We can walk with dexterity. We can walk accurately. But you know how it is where we have met people, or perhaps it has even happened to somebody here, where for a time there is double vision. You hardly know where to put your foot. You hardly know where to put your hand, and where under normal circumstances you could quite easily reach out and pick up something. Where double vision occurs, it's not quite so easy. And the Savior says in the verse 23 that instead of light and instead of the knowledge and the dexterity that is associated with light entering the body, there's darkness. You can't act as you normally would. You can't walk, you can't behave, you can't see if there's double vision. In a spiritual sense, the Christian is to have singularity of vision. Especially, and this is the context in which the Lord is speaking of here, especially we are to have singular vision when it comes to our relationship with the things of the world and the things of earth, material things. Because it is only as we have single vision, not double vision, or let's bring in another word that appears in Scripture, double-mindedness. where there is that duality of trying to do two things at once, trying to focus upon two different things at the same time, where only where there is singular vision in the Christian can we walk in the light and can we live in the manner that Christ Himself has called us to. There are three things that I want you to notice, and first of all, I want you just to observe this simple but important lesson that the Savior says that it is an evil thing. An evil thing for the disciple of Christ to have spiritual double vision. It's an evil thing. Double vision, let me just emphasize this spiritual double vision that the Savior is speaking of, is an attempt to focus upon two different objectives simultaneously. In this case, we have them identified for us there in the verse 24. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Now there you have two different objectives. You have God on the one hand. You have mammon on the other. Now the word that is used here, mammon, simply indicates wealth or riches, and particularly a sinful confidence in the riches and wealth of the world. Now, this has already been brought to our attention in the previous verses, for verse 19 contrasts the treasures of earth with the spiritual riches of heaven. The contrast is, the language is a little different, but essentially the principle is the same in verse 24. It's God and mammon. And double vision in the Christian, in the spiritual sense that the Savior is speaking of here, is to try to look at both those things at the same time. It's like trying to look in different directions at the same time. There is an attempt to focus upon the Lord, and yet at the same time there is an attempt to focus upon the world and the riches of the world, and an attempt to live in pursuit of the wealth, the riches of the world. Now it's very clear from the Savior's words here that it is the duty of every disciple to have a singular focus in life. We've already seen that in verses 19 through to 21. You're not to look upon the treasures of the earth. You're not to live for the wealth of time. Those things will pass away. We studied that previously. Those things are only temporary. They mean nothing in eternity. Don't live for the treasures of the world. Live for the Lord. Live for the treasures of heaven. Get your eye upon that. Let that be your single focus. Now, to have anything other than that singular focus in life for the Christian is wrong. It's sinful. It's evil. That's a strong word, isn't it? And yet it's the word that the Lord Jesus uses here. Look at verse 22 and verse 23. In verse 22 he speaks of the eye being single, focused upon one thing. In the context, focused upon the Lord, focused upon the things of God, focused upon spiritual riches and things that have eternal value. That's a single eye. But then in verse 23, where he introduces the contrast, and where we would expect to find not the word single, but the word double, for he's bringing in now the idea of double vision, the Lord, as it were, leaves out a step in the logical reasoning and the logical argument. Oh, it's quite easy for us to see where he's going. But he goes from single to double to evil. A double eye, this double perspective, this double focus is wrong, it's evil. This is what the Savior is saying. It's not just a foolish thing for the Christian to live pursuing the things of the world and the things of the earth. It is foolish, but it's not just foolish. It's not just ill-advised. It's evil. It's evil. It is an evil thing.
It is a wicked thing. It is a sinful thing for the disciple of Jesus Christ, for that's who he's speaking to here. An evil thing for the disciple of Jesus Christ to be anything other than singularly focused upon the Lord, upon Christ, upon things of spiritual and eternal value. Many of God's people don't think like that. They don't see what the Lord is speaking about here, this pursuit of what the world has to offer. They don't see that as evil, but it is. They think somehow that they can combine and blend living for God and living for the world and living for time. They think somehow they can bring those two things together, but that's double-mindedness, that's double vision. And the Savior says that's an evil thing. It's an evil thing. It's something, therefore, that should be abhorrent to every Christian. To every true child of God, there is that instinctive reaction within the soul that says, Lord, if you say it's wrong, I'm not going to live that way. If you say it's evil, then, Lord, I believe it and I'm not going to act that way. So help me, God, I'm not going to live in a way that the Lord says is an evil way to live. Many of the Lord's people live that way. I fear that they live that way for the most part because they are ignorant of just what God thinks of that kind of a life where they try to bring these two things together. They say, I want to live for God, and yet at the same time they want to live for the world, live for time, live for self-advancement, live for mammon, live for wealth and for what the world can offer. The Lord says that's an evil thing. Never forget that. That God has called His disciples to live with one eye, one vision, one focus, one objective in life. And anything else is sinful. But I need to move on to the second thought, because there are a number of things in these verses that indicate the magnitude of this evil. Why does the Lord use the word evil? Well, it's obvious because this is a serious matter. And the magnitude of the evil of spiritual double vision can be seen by the sad consequences that it brings into the life of the Christian who has double vision. There are consequences to sin. You will know that. Where there is a sinful attitude in the heart, where there is a sinful guiding principle overruling and governing the life, that will show itself in practical ways in our lives. Now the Lord, remember, He's talking to disciples. Disciples can live by the wrong ideal. They can live by the wrong principle. And when they do so, I want you to see in these verses what happens. First, when there is this spiritual double vision, it steals away from the heart of the Christian the love and the loyalty that is due to his God. Double vision steals away from the heart of the Christian two things, love and loyalty, that are due to your God. I want you to concentrate upon two words in the verse 24. Love and hold. There you have the words that indicate what I've said. Love and loyalty. Loving and clinging to. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Now I want you to contrast, because here's the link. Contrast the word in verse 22, the word single, with verse 24, the word two. Here's the double vision that the Lord's talking about. Trying to serve two masters. Now the language and the picture has changed a little bit, but you have the idea of the double, the duality. Trying to look in two directions, trying to serve two masters. And the Lord said, it can't be done. Because either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will hold or cling to the one and despise the other. You can't serve God and mammon. Double-mindedness, you will see from the verse 24, or this double vision, this attempt to serve God and the world. What does it lead to? It leads to a setting aside of love for the Lord. You can't love the world and love God. And if you're going to try and love the world, then you can't love the Lord. It makes love for God impossible. It makes loyalty to God impossible. It steals those away. Because you see, to love the world and to hanker after the world and to desire the treasures of the world indicate, according to verse 24, a spirit of contempt for and rejection of God. If you're going to hold to the world, you're going to reject the Lord. If you're going to serve mammon, you're not going to serve God. If you're going to love the world, you can't love God. Now, wholehearted love of the Lord is the duty of the Christian. It's the duty of every man under the law of God. Chapter 22 of this same gospel, in the verse 37, Jesus said, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind." Singleness of heart. That's your duty under the law of God. That's the duty of all men. And you will know that the law is, of course, the revealer not only of the will of God, but the revealer of sin. That which is evil is that which is contrary to the law. And when you do not love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, to use the Savior's words, that's an evil thing. It's sin because it's contrary to the law of God. But the Christian has, of course, as you will know, an even greater obligation to love the Lord with all his heart, with all his soul, with all his mind, because of the covenant of redemption. If you're saved today, you have a duty to love God with all that you have. You have a duty to be singular in your focus in life. It's to love the Lord. It's to loyally cling to him. And cast aside everything else, to despise everything else, to set everything else aside. Everything that the world has to offer is nothing in comparison to the fact that you should love the Lord. Look at 1 John chapter 4 and the verse 19. We love him because he first loved us. There you have the love of God and redemption. What God did for you, dear Christian, the day he saved you from your sin, the day he regenerated you by his Spirit, and he gave you the grace to repent and turn from sin and trust Christ and enter into the blessings of salvation, he did it in love. He loved you. And when you consider that love, the very least that it should compel from your heart is a singular love for him. We love him. We love him because he first loved us. Do you know why many of God's people have double vision? And they try to live for the world. And they try to love the world. And they live for the mammon of the world. It's because they've forgotten Calvary. You can't think of the cross and be double-minded. We love him because he first loved us. But then in that same epistle, look at 1 John chapter 2 and the verse 15. Writing to believers, the apostle says this, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world." Now this will include much more than what the Savior was speaking of, but it includes at least what the Lord was talking about. The mammon, the wealth, the treasures of the world. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. He can't love the world and love God. And if you're going to love the world, and if you're going to follow the things of the world, and live for the treasures of the world, and live for what the world can offer, you're not going to love God the way you ought to do, dear Christian. You can't love the Lord and love the world, because that double vision robs or steals away from your heart a love for the Lord. Look at James chapter 4 and the verse 4. Now there's strong language used in this verse as well. He's writing to believers. Oh, they have lost out with God. They're not living the way they should be living at all. He has strong language to use of them and the verses in this chapter. They're carnal. They've got away from the Lord. And in James chapter 4 and the verse 4, look at what he says there. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be the friend of the world is the enemy of God. What's adultery? It's perverse love. It's sinful love. Here are those, and instead of loving God, they've loved the world. And what does the Lord call them? Adulterers, adulteresses. It's evil, isn't it? It's evil. It's an evil thing. Whenever we get away from that single-minded focus upon the Lord and upon things of eternal value and begin to try to live for the world and for the things of time. But then coming back to our text, it not only steals away love and loyalty from the heart, but double vision renders service for God impossible. Again, just think of the picture. A man with double vision, he's not going to be able to work very well. It greatly hampers his ability to do anything productive. No man can serve two masters. If you're going to serve the world, you can't serve God. If you're going to serve God, you can't serve the world. But double vision, you see, has this tragic effect, this sinful effect in the life of the Christian who has it. It renders it impossible for them to serve the Lord. Oh, if you're going to live for the things of time and the things of the earth and what this world can offer you, you're not going to serve God. Don't fool yourself. You're not going to serve God. No matter what you do, you're not serving God. If there's a part of your heart that lives for the world, you're not serving God. For you can't serve two masters. Many people, many of God's people, don't serve the Lord at all. Why is it? They're too interested in the world. They've got caught up with the things all around them. In the context, the Lord is speaking, as you've heard me say already, speaking of the treasures of the world. To bring it right down to a practical thing, there are many of God's people, you know, and they can't serve the Lord because they're living for their house. And they've got to work every minute of the day to pay for what they have. Can't go to the prayer meeting. Got to do overtime. Can't do this. Can't do the other thing for God because I'm working for the house, or I'm working for the car, or I'm working for this, or I'm working for the other thing. Well, is that not the kind of thing the Lord is talking about here? You can't serve God and live for the things of the earth. Demas. You'll remember him. Paul described him as a fellow laborer in the gospel in Philemon chapter 1 and the verse 24. Later in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and the verse 10, he records these sad words. Demas hath forsaken me. Why? Having loved this present world. You know, preachers can fall into that snare just as well as any other Christian. Demas was a preacher. Demas was an evangelist with the Apostle Paul. And Demas forsook the work of God. This is the point I want you to get. You can't serve God and love the world. And when Demas began to love the world, he left the work.
Don't let that happen to you. All of us have a duty to see to it and to pray that God will keep us from being so enamored with this earth that we're kept back from serving the Lord. But there's something else that you will observe. It's very prominent in Matthew chapter 6 in our text, because this double vision robs the Christian of light. Isn't that what the Lord's saying here? You'll see the contrast between light, fullness of light, and darkness, great darkness. Have a single vision. Live for the Lord. Live looking to the Lord. Live for the things of heaven. Live for the things that are of eternal value and of eternal worth, that are treasure in heaven. You'll be filled with light. You'll walk in the light. You'll live in the light. But have that evil double vision. Try and live for the world. Try and live for the things of time and of the earth. You'll live in the dark. God has called His people to walk in light. Ephesians chapter 5 and the verse 8. That very command is given. Ye were sometimes darkness. So that's what you used to be. In your unsaved days, you lived in the blackness of darkness of ignorance of Christ. You wear darkness, but now ye are light in the Lord. You've come to understand the gospel. You've come to see Christ. You've been illuminated and your understanding has been enlightened. Walk as children of light. That's God's command for you, Christian. You walk in the light. Now you can only walk in the light as you have your eye fixed upon the Lord and upon heaven and upon the things that the Savior recommends in our text. Look at 1 John chapter 1 and the verse 7. They're blessed words. You know them so well. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. That's fellowship with God the Father. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. This is what God has called us to walk in the light. And as we walk in the light, we walk with Him. As we walk with Him, verse 7, I believe, indicates that there will be that personal, practical experience of sins forgiven. Yes, justified. But also that ongoing experience of joy in our heart that I know I'm saved. What happens when we get in the dark? It's confusing at times in the dark, doesn't it? At times it can get frightening. We can lose our confidence. Where we can walk so confidently in the light, let the light disappear. And even in the most familiar terrain, we begin to walk a little more hesitantly, don't we? Well, you know, that's what it's like for the Christian. You live for God, you'll walk in the light. You'll be with Him in the light. You'll know on an ongoing experience the joy and the lightness and the liberty of a conscience that is free from guilt. For you will know on that practical daily experience of the blood applied. But get your eye on the world and begin to live for the world, and you'll be in the dark. And the consequence of that will be confusion, ignorance, hesitancy, fear, guilt. That's why many of God's people today don't have the assurance of sins forgiven, don't have the assurance of the presence of God. Why? Because they're not living for God, they're living for the world. And you can't have all those things and live for the world. You're going to live for the world, you're going to live in darkness. You're going to walk in darkness. And what's going to happen when you walk in the dark? You're going to fall. Why do many of God's people today blunder around? They live in misery of heart. They live in ignorance. They live in confusion. And they blunder into temptations and into snares. They're not going forward for God. They're not walking with God. They're not making progress. Let me read you the words of John chapter 11. the verse 9. If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. Now the Lord is speaking in spiritual terms. I want you to look at this verse. If any man walk in the day, he's walking in the light. And I've said, this is spiritual light he's speaking about. If you're walking in the light, you're not going to stumble. Why? Because, look at the word, he seeth. He's looking at the light of the world. Who's the light of the world? That's the Savior himself. Is that not the title he takes? John 8:12. The light of the world is Jesus. And when a man has his eye on Christ, he's walking in the day, he won't stumble, he'll be able to go forward. But get your eye off Christ, there's no light. Get your eye on the world, get your eye on the things of the world and the wealth of the world, and begin to live for those things. You're going to walk in the dark. The Christian becomes like a blind man when he gets his eye off the Savior and begins to live for earthly things. God has made his people for the light. That's their environment. That's their element. And the Christian is like a fish out of water when he gets his eye off the Savior and begins to live for the world. Because God has created you, Christian, to look to Jesus, to keep your eye on him. God hasn't created you in the new birth or recreated you in salvation to live for the world. That's not your element. It's not your element. He's created you to walk in the light, not in the darkness. How great is the darkness, the Savior says here, of the one who, instead of using the eye that God has given to him to look to the Savior and to look to the light, he instead turns that eye and looks to the world and admits the darkness of the world into his soul. How great is that darkness? Tragic thing. How great is the evil? How great is the sin involved in having this double vision, this spiritual double-mindedness? Will rob you of everything that God has called upon you to give to him. It'll steal away the love of God into your heart. It'll steal away loyalty. It'll steal away comfort. It'll steal away peace. You'll live in the dark. You'll not be able to serve the Lord. The final thing is this. As we consider all these things, is it not abundantly clear that a choice has to be made? And that choice has to be exercised continuously by the disciple. Where are you going to look? What are you going to fix your eye on? Here's what the Lord is teaching. If we boil it all down, here's what it reduces to. If the disciple wishes to hold to his God, to serve his God, to walk in the light with his God, then he must fix his eye singularly upon his God. You'll recognize that I have used a variety of terms from the text to hold loyally to him, to love him, to serve him. If you want to do those things, you must look to him. You must have your eye singly fixed upon him. Don't let anything distract you from looking to him, looking to the Savior. Rather, fix your eye upon that objective that he has set before you. Live not for the world, but for him. Live not for time, but for eternity. Live not for the treasures of earth, but for the treasures of heaven. Let me leave you with a couple of scriptures. Book of Proverbs, the chapter 4, the verse 25. Let thine eyes look right on. In other words, straight in front of you. Let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet. Let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand or to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. Get your eye fixed upon the objective that you're walking towards, dear Christian. God has called you to walk toward heaven. Let your eye be fixed upon that. Don't be distracted to look at the world and the things of the world and begin to hanker after those things. Psalm 101 and the verse 3, I will set no wicked thing before my eyes. Will you make that your resolve today? And bear in mind the words too of Hebrews chapter 12. God, who has set a race, a course before us, says that we can only run that race by looking unto Jesus. It is as we have our eyes singularly fixed upon Him that we will be able to press on, to make progress, to love God, to serve God, to live in His presence, to know the joy of God's salvation. Will you look to the Lord? Dear Christian, make it your resolve today. I'm going to look only to Him and live only for that which He sets before me. But maybe you're here today, you've never looked to Christ, never been saved. You're still blind, still in the darkness of nature. You know what the sad thing is? You're like a blind man, blundering along the path of life, only to plunge into the blackness of darkness forever. If you're not saved, that's the path you're on. How great is that darkness? I was thinking of the words of the hymn writer this morning as I was preparing for this meeting. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. That's the truth that we've been thinking about today. Let your eye be single. Let your whole body may be full of light, that you might live and love and loyally serve the God who saved you. And if you've never been saved, look to Christ and be saved today. May the Lord bless His word for Jesus' sake.